This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Doug and Daddy Show coming together on this Tuesday, the 14th of July. Doug Duda, Damon Day. What's up, man?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
You been playing any baseball? Coaching any baseball?
Yeah, I've been.
Any camps?
Doing the camp thing, doing a lot of the sun thing, doing a lot of the BP thing, a lot of the play and catch thing, just kind of being dad. So, yeah, you know, it's a little downtime recruiting kind of. Now until about August, the one's probably our slowest time of the year for baseball coaches here in July. And we're just doing a lot of prep work, a lot of the get ready for the season type of work. But you never take it off. I mean, like, for example, last night watched every single pitch of the home run derby. And I was never a home run derby guy. But this was the first year that Bubba and Cody John really kind of got into it and really enjoyed it and really had fun with it. So it was really cool to see him just be and kind of get through a different set of eyes, just, you know, how amazing. You know, I think from a baseball coach's standpoint, you're not really that enthralled with it. I will say they make it look way, way easier than it actually is to hit a home run. That's probably the one thing that I always equate that to, kind of like golf. You know, when Spieth bombs it and you know, curves it around a tree and ends up 3 inches from the hole, and it looks really easy to do those types of things. I think sometimes the TV does not do credit to just how hard some of those accomplishments are.
And we'll get into that home run derby, because I'm like you. I thought it was a little more interesting last night. Didn't know with the format change if it would be or not. So we'll look at that, talk about the All-Star game tonight. We'll talk a variety of different topics today. Coming up next segment, American Legion Baseball. We'll talk with Matt Connett from Kearney Post 52. The juniors will begin their area tournament out in Scotts Bluff this weekend. We'll talk about that. We will continue our 14 teams in 14 days. Our Big Ten football feature today is Wisconsin. And we'll have quite a few things to talk about with Jeff Patricus of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Remember, the last, you know, throw out the bowl game, whatever you want, 59-0 Big Ten championship game. Wisconsin on the wrong end of that. A month before that, rolling Nebraska, Melvin Gordon, all great things. We'll even bring up Bo Ryan and the change of basketball there. But our 14 teams in 14 days, we'll take a look at Wisconsin, and are they still the favorite this year in the Big Ten West? I think they're going to be the favorite until somebody beats them. You will make them the favorite every year. It's like being the Cardinals. Until somebody else finally wins that division again, you have to keep going with Wisconsin. You can keep saying that Nebraska's there. You can keep saying that Minnesota could make a move, Northwestern could make a move, and pick whoever, Iowa could make a move. But it doesn't sound like any of those teams are ready to be there this year. Will Wisconsin win it by default? We'll talk with Jeff about that. And at the end of the program, Alex Myers, Golf Digest, British Open. I don't know. Just, I watched Jordan Spieth practice yesterday. He looked tired. How can you get ready and take time off when you have to tee off at 4 in the morning his time on Thursday? So we'll talk about I want to see Spieth win it. I think the excitement of him going into the PGA would be outstanding. Not even from a, because it'd be great sports talk, but It would be great theater, and that's what it's all about. Golf with so few opportunities to have something like that right now, I'd love to see Spieth win this baby.
I completely agree. I'm just a little disheartened that Rory isn't there. I mean, yeah. I think that's what stinks about it now is there's going. I don't want to say there's going to be an asterisk, but people are going to say, "Well, Rory wasn't there," and I think that stinks for Spieth if he does win it. And I mean, and that's not even a fair thing, but that's how people. That's how today's world reacts to it. You know, the fact that Rory isn't there, and I think Jordan Spieth and seeing his comments and everything, he's a little disappointed. You know that
you
want to
always make sure that you beat the best. You know, if number 46 in the world's not there, that's one thing. If number one in the world's not there, there's always that little asterisk.
And I think it's different also from the standpoint of Jordan Spieth has won one. He's already got a major under his belt. He's already got two majors under his belt. But I think the fact that, you know, now you even want Rory there even more. I mean, maybe if he was just going for his first, hey, I'm not too upset about it type of thing. I did find that the Tiger fascination with Tiger is still strong. That's the one thing that's still strong. You know, people ask him about retirement and him kind of being like, I'm not even 40 yet, and all those types of things. You know, I just wish his golf game would show some signs of being relevant. Because he is the greatest golfer of all time, in my opinion, hands down, bar none. No one's ever going to catch him. No one's ever going to tell me that he's not. Because to me, he revolutionized the sport right in front of my eyes from a very white-collar country club type of thing to a lot of really good athletes now are actually participating in golf. And so I'm with you. I think Spieth did look tired yesterday in his interviews. I thought when you watched the Golf Channel live from St. Andrews, I thought he did look tired, I think, with that schedule. But there's a different level to this young man. There's a different, you know, I think for him it's more, can I survive to Saturday and be in striking distance? More so is it than I'm going to go out and win the tournament in the first 2 days. I think that's where over the next 2 days is going to be big on how much rest does he actually get and kind of recharge of the batteries.
And you will be able to hear coverage of the British Open Saturday and Sunday morning here on ESPN Radio. Saturday, Sunday morning, what is it, 7 and 6 or 8 and 7? What time do we start, Caleb?
Sunday, the coverage will start at 7.
Okay. So we'll have it Saturday and Sunday morning here on ESPN Radio. The one thing I don't want to see is the Tom Watson thing. I don't want to see Spieth, like we were rooting for Tom Gillis Sunday to beat Spieth at the John Deere because it would have meant so much more to him. He did end up getting in the British Open with the last spot, so that's cool. But I don't want to see that kind of a deal at the British Open. I don't want to see a no-name like Oosthuizen was 5 years ago. I don't want to see that no-name have a chance to beat Jordan Spieth. If it's somebody else, whatever, you know. But even if it's Mickelson or Tiger or one of your favorite golfers, a Westwood, somebody like that, it would be catastrophic for a sports sense, just using it in a sports sense, that word, if Spieth lost the British Open by one shot.
Oh, but there's no other tournament that sets up for that. There's no other tournament that is going to reward the one-time major winner more so than the British Open, because luck and guile and all those different types of things that they say plays into it. And I think it's funny that all the things that they criticize Chambers Bay about, you know, is old school nuance and all those different types of things. And I think that's where, you know, average golf fans like Chambers Bay and St. Andrews are very, very similar type of golf courses. They're almost the exact type of, you know, layout. So why are they all upset about that? But they would never say those things about St. Andrews. Well, obviously there's a respect factor and there's all those different types of things. But this is the British Open, and the British Open sells itself on the greatest test of golf. You know, the U.S. Open and all those different types of tests, those are different. The British Open is something that is unlike anything else in golf because the course is so much a part of the story. And when you're at St. Andrews like they are this year, it's so much of a bigger deal to be at St. Andrews than it is to be at Royal George or Carnoustie or those other ones.
But it's the easiest of the courses.
It is the easiest of the courses as in the benign conditions that is being played in right now with the practice rounds. You know, I thought one of the things that went unsaid yesterday was a couple degrees couple different angles of wind, and that could start to puff a little bit. And now you're starting to talk about teeth.
Weather's huge.
Weather's the biggest deal.
We all know that.
Yeah, but weather's the biggest deal there, probably more so than anywhere else. And I think that's what leads to what you're saying is that's what leads to the no-name making a charge. That's what leads to a guy posting a score early maybe before the conditions ramp up. That makes it different. I think that's where right now golf's trying to capture that just fly-by fan, just that average golf fan. And that's where, like you're saying, they don't need someone to post a number on Sunday. And then when we all wake up Sunday morning, someone's already in the clubhouse and everybody's chasing that number. Everybody wants to see.
What do you mean? What time? You get up at 5 o'clock for practice. You'll be up watching.
Oh, I already got my...
Nobody will be posted in the league.
I'll be up at 3 o'clock in the morning on Thursday morning because this is my favorite golf tournament to watch. Always has been.
One thing about the British Open, usually, it's not this way every course, but St. Andrews is like it a little bit. Unlike, and now you can go back to 16 at Chambers Bay where they did hit it out of bounds. You never see guys hit the ball out of bounds on pro events. Once in a great while, something weird will happen. There's so few holes that you can hit it out of bounds, especially in these majors. At St. Andrews, you can hit it out of bounds. Those devilish Brits over there and Irishmen and Scots, their golf courses can be pretty tight. I mean, huge fairway, a little bit of rough, bang, white stake.
Yes.
Bang, road. Bang, parking lot. Heck, you can hit out of the parking lot over at Andrews. We've seen that before. So we'll talk about that coming up on the program. Before we go into the first break, I want to get back to baseball for just a minute. Our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. There are a lot of teams leading their division, some really good records out of the four teams that have the best record in baseball. Who's the best right now? Dodgers, Cardinals, Pirates, or Royals? And a lot of hometown cooking here. 60% took the Cardinals, 40% took the Royals. Who's the best? I love the Royals, and Jimmy made a good point yesterday saying, you know what, there's three teams with really good records in the National League. There's more parity in the American League. Maybe that lends a little credence to the Royals. The Cardinals doing what they're doing after losing an ace pitcher at the beginning of the year. They've got the best record in baseball. They look so tough night in and night out, and I just want to root for the Royals. You?
I'm a Dodgers guy.
You think they're the best team?
Yes. I mean, that's why I'm saying I'm not a Dodgers fan. I'm just a Kershaw Greinke.
Yeah.
And give me the best one, too. And
they're
not
playing well on Kershaw nights because he's 6-6, but his ERA is still under 3, right?
Yeah, and I think that's where when you're looking at all four of these guys, I mean, when you look at the Cardinals, what they're doing it with smoke and mirrors, and at some point August is going to catch up to them. At some point their lack of depth is going to catch up to them. I don't care how big of a czar Matheny is. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to lose, and I'm not saying they're not going to make the playoffs. I'm just saying they're going to hit a rougher stretch than just their three-game slide. The Kansas City Royals, I think Alex Gordon going down the way that he did is a bigger story than people want to make. He's a catalyst guy. He's one of the few guys that takes some pitches in that lineup. So I think it really just kind of sets up for the future for the Royals. I think the Royals are very beneficial right now that Detroit's got the bullpen that they got. The White Sox aren't doing anything from an offensive standpoint. You know, the Twins are just keep hanging around and hanging around and hanging around, and I think that's where it's going to be interesting is how much, you know, can the Twins continue to do it? Can the Royals win without Gordon, who's a big key piece and you know, all those different types of things? But I go with the Dodgers just based upon Zach Greinke and Clayton Kershaw. You have those two guys going, and when they're going to go, and now they're going to split them up for the second half. Coming out, they're not going 1-2. They're going to split them up. That's going to help save their bullpen because I think their bullpen's been dramatically overused in games 3-5 until Kershaw comes back around, and then their bullpen gets 2 days off. So I do like what Mattingly's doing as far as changing the rotation from that standpoint. And what you're starting to see a lot of Major League Baseball teams do is start to split their ones and twos and kind of, you know, we're starting to go with a 1-3-4-2-5 rotation to kind of give your bullpen a little bit of a break. And so just based upon those four teams, I like the Dodgers the most. And the Pirates, gosh, they're
fun to watch.
They're fun to watch.
Let's take a look at our question for today. How do you feel about the Home Run Derby? I did not like it. It was an average event. I loved it. It was the best derby ever. Surprisingly, I'm going to say I loved it. It wasn't the best Derby ever, but I liked the format. It seemed to move along. As they talked about on Mike and Mike this morning, the rain chances and cutting it from 5 minutes to 4 minutes. I mean, those guys are gassed. 5 minutes doesn't seem very long. 4 minutes was a long time. I like the timeout. You can use it when you've lost your groove, and it helped almost every guy last night. There were double-digit home runs almost every round. The two Cubs, I mean, let's face it, Cub fans, who knew that you could lose twice and you didn't even play yesterday? So, Cub fans, we got to get some guys that can hit home runs in here. But that was more entertaining than I thought, and I'm ready to give it a try next year.
I want to see the round shorten. I think 3 minutes. I think honestly, though, when you start to look at it from the 4 minute and you were talking about the 5 minute thing, if I'm a Mike Trout or I'm some of these guys that you're trying to woo into doing it, a Bryce Harper, those guys were gassed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and then you looked at Peterson and Frazier. I mean, they were, I honestly thought that Frazier won because he had the longer rest than Peterson did.
He had, I said, when we were watching this last night, I said, I think this will not favor the big guys, a Prince Fielder, the guys that power and muscle home runs out. It will favor the Todd Frazier, who has a nice, sweet swing, and he wasn't hitting them. I mean, they were hitting them, but they were all just along that same plane.
Efficiency of effort was big for Frazier and Peterson. They're more barrel out in front guys, get the barrel head extended, get my arms extended, whereas Fielder and even Manny Machado, for being a wiry guy, but a Fielder and even a pool host, those are let me get my big muscles moving. And so you could definitely tell, I mean, Pujols was done. He can say that it was the batting glove slippage and everything. I mean, Pujols was just done. I mean, that's where I would like to see it go to a three-minute thing, because then you're really getting to see those guys go after it. And it's not so much of an endurance race as a pure power type of thing. I would like to see the tiebreaker be add the feet together.
At our
vote to now. Reward the guy who hit it 465 feet.
Vote now on the Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. When we come back, Matt Connett, American Legion, Kearney Post 52 coach, Jeff Patricus from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to talk Wisconsin, and Golf Digest, Alex Myers, all still to come.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Oh, those summer memories, vacations, the beach, the ball games. If the time spent in your car is ruining those memories because the air conditioner isn't getting the job done, then call your friends at Graham Tire Company. Their certified technicians will diagnose the problem and let you know what is needed to bring cool comfort back to your drive. They will even pick up and deliver your car. Just another reason to trust Graham Tire, your tire store next door.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, look for partly sunny skies. Do pick up a slight chance for some showers and storms into the afternoon with high temperatures in the low 90s. Still can't rule out some storms for tonight, upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Michael Caro. Right now it's 84 degrees.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend.
Second Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. Glad to have you along with us as David Day, UNK baseball coach, my co-host. Also, not only Legion baseball going on with area tournaments, but the Little Leaguers are starting their trek towards Indianapolis, and their state tournament will be in Blair Thursday through Sunday. Kearney and Hastings are there, Norfolk, Blair, and some other teams will be competing as well. So best of luck. Some of those kids that have made the trip to Indianapolis and made the trip to Williamsport are now playing American Legion baseball. And I know a lot of people are interested to see how they've kind of come along in area tournaments this weekend. Matt Connor from Kearney Post 52 joins us. They finished the regular season with an 11-2 win against Lexington last night. And Matt, good morning. How are things?
Good. Thanks for having me on. How are you guys doing?
Well, great to have you on, and we get to preview that trip out to Scotts Bluff. But let's just talk about the season in general right now. You're not the number one seed. We can talk about that as well. But you've been piling up some wins and doing pretty well here of late. Would you concur?
Yeah, we've been playing relatively well. The last 2 weeks or so, I thought we've been playing better than we had. I thought we had a little bit of a lull there, right around the fourth. But it seems like we've kind of picked it up here lately. Won the majority of some games in the tournaments that we've been in the Lincoln tournament last weekend. You know, we ended up playing in the championship game against Grand Island and had a couple opportunities to win that game, and just it didn't happen that way. We've been playing all right. I mean, it's would like to maybe have racked up a few more wins going into the area tournament, but it is what it is, and we'll make do with what we've got.
Coach Connor, Damon Day here, and as you head out to Scotts Bluff and got to kind of make that trek out to there, what are some keys that you got to improve upon this upcoming weekend to be successful?
You know, we've stressed a lot over the last couple weeks about just kind of our approach at the plate. You know, we've stressed a couple different things. The biggest thing that we've stressed, and we talk about it all year long, but just the aggressiveness, and especially the aggressiveness with runners in scoring position. You know, just trying to get guys to make something happen, to force something to happen, to be the guy that's going to step up in certain situations, whether you're, regardless of what spot in the order you're hitting, you know, whether you're somebody's hitting in the three hole or the eight hole, you know, just being able to put the bat on the ball, put the ball in play, and force the other team to make things happen. You know, I tell my guys all the time, you know, you put the ball in play and they've got to do 10 things right and all you got to do is run. You know, so we're trying to force them to make plays, you know, especially in key situations where we've got runners in scoring position and things like that. The other thing that we've really been stressing is competitiveness on the mound. We've had some issues as of late just with the lack of preparedness when guys come into the game, when they come in a relief role. And we've really been trying to work some specific guys into key roles that we think they're going to be used this weekend. I'm just trying to get them prepared for those scenarios, bringing them in, you know, bringing guys in late in ball games that whether or not we actually need them in that role in that particular game, but just getting them used to, okay, the seventh inning you're coming in, you know, this is what you're going to see in a week, or this is what you're going to see in 2 weeks.
Talking with Matt Connett, coach, manager of the Kearney Post 52 Juniors. They will play Friday, 5 o'clock, against Hastings Johnson Imperial, and that is out at Scotts Bluff. Obviously, very familiar with them. Have you decided who you're going to put on the mound? And then just tell us a little bit about the matchup.
We're going to go with Jared Wagner. He's thrown some big games for us this year. He's beaten some very good teams. He's thrown against some very good teams and kept us in a competitive game, even maybe if he didn't walk off the mound with a win that day. He has been somebody who's been very, very consistent for us, as have a lot of our starters. you know, he comes out with a decent velocity on his fastball, got a decent curveball, pretty nice little changeup. Pretty much all three of those he's going to be able to throw in and around the zone. If he's on, he's pretty tough to beat. He's going to make it difficult for whoever's standing in the box. And that'll be the key, is just making sure that he's on. And if he's not, you know, we've got other options that we can go to, and you know, we'll explore those if the time comes. But Jared will do a nice job. You know, other guys like Ryan Koski and Ryan Blake and Thad Huber, Max Knipping, they've all done phenomenal job on the mound for us in both starting and relief roles. So any one of those guys could be potentially in relief and then moving on starting games throughout the weekend, hopefully.
And Matt, a little bit about Hastings.
Hastings is good. They are very good. I mean, obviously they're the number two seed in our district. You know, just kind of following them throughout the year, seeing some scores come across. They have played with and beaten some extremely good teams, and as have we. They play very fundamentally sound. They got a couple guys on the mound that can throw it a little bit, and they definitely have the ability at the plate to make it very difficult for an opponent. Defensively, they're solid. I mean, they're just a solid team. Coach Marquardt's done a great job with them the last couple of years. Coach Kindig before that. I mean, those guys are always have always been solid. They've always been sound, and they've always walked into districts with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. They're going to be tough to beat.
And Matt, before we let you out of here, just kind of your feeling about the district. North Platte is number one, and then Lexington and Scottsbluff are the other first-round matchup. If the Kearney-Hastings winner obviously gets a day off, they're in the winner's bracket final already on Sunday, so we don't even have to talk about how important the first game is to try and get to the state tournament. But overall, do you think you and Hastings are the two best teams? Is this already a championship game, or are one of these other three pretty solid?
Well, that remains to be decided. I mean, I think that any one of those top three seeds for sure could be deserving of a district championship and a trip to the state tournament. This is probably about as closely matched top three that I've been a part of since I've been down at the junior level. All three of those teams are very good. North Platte has some guys in the middle of their order that look like they are seniors heading somewhere to play in college, playing for their senior teams. The way the ball jumps off their bat, just the physical nature of some of their hitters. They got a couple guys that can throw it pretty well on the mound as well. And again, I already touched on Hastings, and I think that we can go toe to toe with both those teams as well. But like I said, we're about as evenly matched as we've been since I've been here. And I mean, we've beaten North Platte three times this year. I think it was 7-6, 7-6, and 1-0. It's been a one run wins each one of those times. And Hastings was a couple wins over them, and then they got us the last time. But each one of those games has been within a couple runs. No matter what, it seems like it's always going to be a good game. And I've been telling my guys for about the last month. And I could kind of see this coming down the road, that we were going to be the two or the three, and then whether it was North Platte or if it was Hastings, it was going to be a dogfight that first game. And that's the way it's been the last several years, whoever we match up with in that first round, just because the way the five-team bracket lays out, the two and the three have to play each other the first day. And it's usually a fist fight, and it's good baseball. It's good baseball to watch. And I look forward to it. I mean, this is a scenario that I would prefer rather than having the one. I would rather be the two or the three going into districts with this particular setup. Having that next day off, if you can come away on day one with a win, having the day two off just with the possibility of bringing your starter back on that fifth day, it just opens up some more doors for you down the road. So I think the two or the three, the winner of that two or the three is in a much better position if you can get yourself to Tuesday. Than possibly the one.
Come on, Matt. You just want the day off so you guys can go out to Chimney Rock.
Maybe golf.
a little golf as well. Well, he'll be interested when we talk British Open here towards the end of the program. Matt, we'll let you get back to your day. Best of luck this weekend. Again, great job so far this season.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Good luck, Coach.
That's Matt Connett. Kearney Post 52 joining us here.
As a baseball guy, outsider looking in, five-team tournament, not good. Just not a good idea. I just think that, you know, it's kind of like Dan Cia is going to a 17 tournament. I really would love to hear what these people were thinking in this room when they said, you know what, in baseball, let's go odd-numbered tournaments by choice. And, it just goes to show you that the more we regulate and the more we try to make decisions, the worse off we become, because a five-team tournament in baseball is absolutely ridiculous. And I love it because in one hand, everyone's talking about budgets and travel and all that type of thing. We're going to send a team 5 hours from home and then make one of them have a day off. I mean, so to me, it's one of the reasons why Legion Baseball is dead pretty much anywhere else in the country, except for its small, very, very big pockets, because of these decisions that they have made that continually set them back from being involved in other leagues and other divisions. And thank goodness in Nebraska that the Legion has held on and been able to do those types of things. But I know major pockets of areas that don't do it anymore because of decisions that were made like this on the tournament side of things. And at some point, someone's going to say, you know what? We don't have to do this in Babe Ruth or Mickey Mantle or USSSA or all these other things with these crazy tournaments. And that's the thing that scares me the most, is that we have such a great thing with Legion Baseball in this state, but the Legion continually, time and time again. And maybe I'm wrong. That would be a good question for Coach Archer or Coach Connett. Maybe they enjoy the five-team bracket.
We have had this discussion before. And, in one aspect, and Lexington, I mean, being in here, this used to be a four-team area tournament. Grand Island would be within two Grand Island teams, seven or eight. But now that the teams are starting to dwindle, because Lexington used to be B, now that the schools and the programs are starting to dwindle, it doesn't seem to be as big of a deal. You could actually cut down the number of districts, but the Lincolns and Omahas, they seem to be very satisfied with, just put all us Lincoln guys together, put all these Omaha guys together, and then put the guys out west together and do it. It's definitely different than what they do in the high school ranks. Doug and Daddy show a lot on baseball. Alex Myers from Golf Digest is going to join us in the next segment as well. But right now, let's talk a little Big Ten football.
It's that time. 14 teams in 14 days, where we'll preview a different team each day, leading you up to the Big Ten Media Days July 30th and 31st in Chicago. We're headed to the West Division for today's team, the Wisconsin Badgers.
And Jeff Patricus from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We've had him on numerous times, and it's always great to talk a little Badger sports. We used to think that it was a friendly rivalry, but Damon, they've kicked our ass so many times in a row, I'm not sure it's friendly anymore. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
There's so many things to get to, and we appreciate you giving us some time here. Again, we'll have a different team every day until Media Days when we're live in Chicago, July 30th and 31st. But so I don't rush this at the end, we'll get to the football in a moment, but I would think that the big story still at the University of Wisconsin was the announcement a month ago from Bo Ryan that you guys will be making a transition there at basketball. How shocking was that to you, and are they close to making their assistant the head coach next year?
I think it surprised some people, even on the inside. I mean, Barry Alvarez, the athletic director, didn't see it coming. I'm very at half joke, but more than very seriously, said he didn't anticipate having to make another hire again, specifically a men's basketball coach, because he thought, you know, Bo's in good health. He thought Bo was going to keep coaching. Former athletic director Pat Richter was out with Bo at a function the night when a lot of the rumors were swirling, and, you know, he didn't know it was coming. Bo didn't give him any inkling. His number one assistant, Greg Gard, didn't find it out till the morning and they announced it. As far as the progress of the search, it's going to be posted after the season because they have to, because of state law that covers all state employees, not just at the university, They've got to post the job when it's open. It won't be open until after the season, you know. So you won't know anything until after the season. Barry, back in 2005, named Brett Bielema as his successor, but that was a violation of state law. His bosses didn't like it, so they've been following the state regs ever since then.
Damon Day here, and just a quick question. Do they go with a Bo Ryan guy, or are they going to go with maybe more of a mainstream, more exciting type of guy, bring in somebody new to kind of energize that Wisconsin brand? I mean, obviously they've had success, but on the national level, their style of play has been getting dogmented and criticized tremendously by the NBA guys and with trying to get blue chip recruits. Do you think they stay with the Wisconsin way, or is this a time for them to rebrand themselves?
Well, what I wrote earlier this month was quite simple, that the number one guy on Barry's list was Tony Bennett, and he was at Virginia right now. But that people close to Tony had said he's very happy he's not coming back to Wisconsin, not leaving Virginia at all. They just re-upped his contract. I think that Greg Gard, the associate head coach, who's been with Bo for 22 years at three schools, is the leader in the clubhouse. It'll be interesting to see what kind of year they have in Bo's last year. It's going to be a tough transition for him because they had two kids drafted in the first round, won a lottery pick in Frank Kaminsky. But I still think unless some big-name coach with a lot of experience, I'm talking about a head coach, comes out of the woodwork and decides to change his career path and calls Barry and says, you know what, I want to take over the program at the University of Wisconsin, unless that happens, I think it's going to be Greg Gard, and I think that would probably be a prudent choice, not because of any stability. I just think Greg has trained and has the makings of being a very good head coach in the short term and the long term.
We're talking with Jeff Patricus here on our 14 Teams in 14 Days on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. So let's get to the football part. They're also looking, I guess we were in Nebraska, so enthralled and with our own coaching change here for different reasons. This whole deal with Coach Anderson and bringing in Coach Christ still, to me, seems so strange how that all worked out. And you tie it all together because Coach Anderson goes to Oregon State to replace Riley, who comes to Nebraska. Can you, after spring ball, tell some major differences, some minor differences, some pluses, some minuses between the two?
There's going to be no major difference. I mean, it's not – Paul is going to run at Wisconsin as a head coach what they ran when he was the offensive coordinator, you know, from 2005 to 2011. They're going to run the ball. They're going to throw a play-action pass. The biggest change is that, you know, defensively under Dave Aranda – who came to Wisconsin with Kerry Anderson but decided to stay because he loves it here, is that he plays much more multiple fronts and multiple schemes than Wisconsin fans were accustomed to before he got here. Now, they've got some personnel issues, but, you know, some question marks going into camp, but I don't think people are going to see many dramatic changes in terms of scheme whatsoever because Paul knows what wins here, and Paul's going to go with that formula.
Jeff, let's talk a little bit about the ball club here. With the loss of Melvin Gordon, the do-everything, I think the Chargers got a great guy. I think he's going to do well at the next level. Is Corey Clement going to take is he the penciled-in starter already? You got Stavi back at quarterback. How's the offense going to look for the Badgers?
Yeah, Clement is the clear number one going into camp. And, I mean, he's been pining to be the number one tailback at this place since the day he got on campus because he was a decorated tailback out of New Jersey. He had to play behind two guys who are in the pros, Melvin and James White, for a couple years. So he's ready. The biggest question is not going to be quarterback. It's not going to be tailback. It's not going to be wide receiver where they still have some guys. They don't have a lot of depth at wide receiver. Into the offensive line. I've been up here since 1995, and I don't remember a year going into camp where I had as significant questions about the line as I do this year, because the starting five I think it'll be okay once they get it settled, but after that, I don't think they have much depth at all.
One more, and then I know Navin wants to talk a little bit about the schedule here. When you get to the defense, I mean, he's got a chance to be an All-American in your safety, Michael Caputo. Is he the face of Wisconsin football this year? And what's he got if he's on the Mount Rushmore? Who's there with him?
He's probably one of their more valuable performers on defense because he is a safety, but Dave Aranda likes to play him up near the line of scrimmage because he's a better playmaker near the line of scrimmage than he is in deep coverage. So he's a safety slash linebacker. But another guy who I think is overlooked is a former walk-on, a state kid by the name of Joe Schobert, number 58. In their bowl victory against Auburn in the overtime, they held Auburn to a field goal in that possession that helped them win the game. He shot into the backfield, dropped the running back for a loss on a running play. Then they ran a quick tunnel screen or bubble screen to the outside. He got out there and shut that down. Then they ran a throwback pass to the quarterback. He pursued back, got the quarterback, shoved him out of bounds. He made three plays on one series that helped them win the game. And he's a better player than he looks when you look at him in his pads. So Caputo and Schobert are two of the key guys on defense.
Damon Day here again, and as the conferences have realigned and expansion, and let's face it, the West has kind of become the irrelevant side of the Big Ten right now with the success of Ohio State and Michigan State and the big time hire at Michigan. You know, how is the Badger faithful? How is Badger Nation handling the fact that they have to play second fiddle to the East? And now with Wisconsin having one of the easier schedules with no Ohio State, no Michigan, no Michigan State. Obviously, them getting to the Big Ten tournament is the expectation, but what is the overall feeling around Wisconsin with now that they are part of the West and don't get the opportunity to play Ohio State and Michigan State?
Well, that'll flip next year. In fact, they play Michigan and Michigan State on the road, and Ohio State comes to Camp Randall in 2016. Plus, they open up in Lambeau Field against LSU. So they know what the fans know what's coming. And so does Paul Chryst know what's coming. I was teasing with him the other day. I said, yeah, you want to play the 2016 schedule this year, don't you? Where you can play Ohio State and Michigan State and Iowa and Nebraska basically to open the season in Big Ten play. Fans know that the West right now is looked at as the lesser of the two divisions. But I always point to the SEC. For years in the SEC, the East was the gold standard. And the West was an afterthought. Well, look at it today. The East is the afterthought. The West is the gold standard. And you know what it's going to come down to? The only way you change that perception is when the West and East champions meet in the Big Ten championship game. And that's where the West teams, whoever's in that championship game, can make a statement by winning that game.
Alabama in Jerry World to open up the season, but just kind of piggybacking that, Jeff, right now in July with a new coach, with what you've talked about, it would seem to me if they can pull the upset of Alabama, and some people are in the Wisconsin corner, if this was a normal, you know, had a five-year coach and all that kind of thing, this looks like a team that'll be favored in every other game they play this season. Am I off base? What do you think you're going to get from the Badgers this year?
You know, I was just kind of looking at their schedule and doing some work on our tab. I was working on it yesterday, and I am going to pick them to win the West Division. And simply because I looked at, you know, I looked at Nebraska, I looked at Iowa, and looked at Minnesota as and Wisconsin as four teams. Okay, those are the four that I think can win the division. And I couldn't put any of those teams ahead of Wisconsin for a variety of reasons, whether it was question marks on offense. With Nebraska, in my opinion, it was like, okay, I know Mike Riley likes to run a pro-style offense, but I look at Tommy Armstrong, and I'm like, is he really the quarterback for that? And I know Nebraska, at least in my opinion, has some questions on defense coming back. So even though I think the change from Pelini to Riley will lend some stability, especially, you know, keeping the players on an even keel, because Mike, you guys know this, Mike is so much a different personality than Bo. It's ridiculous. They're both polar opposites. But, you know, I looked at Wisconsin. I think they'll win the West, although I could see them losing at Nebraska in October, similar to what happened in 2012. If you remember that was the first time Nebraska and Wisconsin played since Wisconsin whipped Nebraska. Nebraska was fired up for that game. They won a tight game. They came back to win. Similar scenario this year. Those Nebraska kids remember what happened in Camp Randall last year, especially kids on defense. I know they're going to want to make amends for that. They're going to be playing at home.
Jeff Patricus from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I think if that line, like you talked about, Jeff, can get the job done, you're gonna have some playmakers again for the Badgers. They'll be a fun team to watch and be a fun team to test out game one against Alabama. Any other, for the general fan out there, special teams, off-field? We've talked about a lot of off-field news around Wisconsin and Nebraska this year. Is there anything else that is going to be relevant when we watch Wisconsin play this year?
Well, I think they have questions at wide receiver, and Paul Christ, who's going to be calling plays, loves to throw the tight ends. I think you're going to see the tight ends involved. I think they have several running backs who they feel can catch the ball, both tailback and fullback. So I think you're going to see the quarterback, they're going to try to spread it around to all different levels, wide receiver, tight end, running backs. Big questions on defense would be at inside linebacker, and I don't see one guy yet who's a dominating defensive lineman who, if you're an offensive coordinator and you're scheming for them, you're saying, we've got to block that guy every time. I don't see anyone who's emerged in that mold yet for Wisconsin. I think their special teams are going to be really good. They have a great kicker. I think their punter, who struggled the last year and a half, had a much better spring. They made some changes schematically and with his technique. So I think they're going to be a solid team, but it all goes back to the offensive line for me. If they have an injury at a key position or two, I think that's really going to affect what they can do on offense.
Nebraska, Wisconsin, coming up, of course, with one of the great matchups in the West, as many people from both camps believe that should be the matchup every single year that determines the West champion. And this year, it's the second game for the Big Red. It's their Big Ten home opener on October the 10th. They were here for basketball. They'll be here for football, and we'll be at Media Days with Jeff Patricus of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Jeff, we'll let you get back to your day. Always appreciate the insight. Thanks for the time.
All right, guys, you have a good day.
Take care. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Switch it over to golf. Alex Myers from Golf Digest when we return.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
I call Kearney Crete and Block for all my landscaping bricks and paver.
We called Kearney Crete and Block when we decided to do an outdoor kitchen, fire pit, and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
At Apple Barrel Restaurant, located inside Sapp Brothers in Odessa, we have this thing some people like to obsess a little about. It's called customer service and quality. If you're looking for an affordable way to eat out and stimulate your wallet, well, this is the place for you. With daily lunch and dinner specials, and it's not like some little meal, it's made from scratch. No time to sit? Call ahead. We do orders to go. Apple Barrel Restaurant, inside Sapp Brothers. You don't have to drive a truck to stop at Sapp Brothers Travel Center.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty invites you to enjoy all the cruise night activities in Kearney this week. But please, keep it fun for everyone. Be safe. Be smart.
NP Realty, developing dreams.
Convenient walk-in medical care.
Open when you need us.
Hastings Convenient Care.
No appointments necessary.
From sore throats to broken bones,
cuts, or illnesses.
Hastings Convenient Care is open when you need us.
Open 7 days a week.
Monday through Friday, 9 till 8, and weekends 11 until 5.
Program the number in your phone so it's there when you need it.
402-463-6300. Visit online at hastingscare.org.
208 South Burlington, Suite 108, just south of the underpass.
The care you need at the time you need it.
Hastings Convenient Care.
Car insurance isn't about the car. It's about the precious cargo the car carries. It's about providing security and confidence that if an accident occurs, you'll be protected. I'm Dave Challey of Barney Insurance. As a local independent agent, we can design an insurance program that's just right for you and your family. providing safe, sound, secure insurance protection from Auto Owners Insurance. Stop by or give us a call.
Time is the true test of endurance. Barney Insurance.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, the Chevy Summer Bonus Tag Event. Find your tag, choose your deal, get 0% APR, an additional $1,000 purchase cash, or an additional $500 lease bonus cash on select vehicles. And don't forget, it's cruise night this weekend. We will be there on Thursday for the annual Show and Shine, Midway hosting the Show and Shine at the Midway Auto Outlet, South 2nd Avenue, Central Avenue. Stop down for oldies music. I'll be there from about 4:30 to 7:30. Food and so many awesome cars. If you've ever been a part of this, you know how great it is. And it all starts Thursday as part of their service to the community, the Midway Auto Dealerships, and thinkmidway.com. Okay, I'm laughing right now during the break as I go back because Alex Myers is so great to always join us and talk PGA golf and major golf and the British Open tees off Thursday morning. But go to golfdigest.com. Look at his blog today. I mean, where can you find beautiful women, beautiful golf, and John Daly walking on the beach after winning the British Open 20 years ago. Myers, that's great stuff, man. That's great stuff.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Try to mix it up here and then.
He's also got some random prop bets that also made me laugh. So it's serious and it's fun and it's pretty good stuff to watch. But let's go back to the U.S. Open and let's talk about how that could affect what we see immediately with Jordan Spieth and Dustin Johnson playing together. I don't think it's a big deal. I think it's funny. I think it's a cool thing that they did put them together. But the way that that whole U.S. Open ended, did it surprise you in any way, those last five, six holes?
Oh, well, yeah, the way it ended, of course. I mean, you know, I think Dustin Johnson played the best from tee to green of anybody that week. I think he played the best from tee to green on Sunday. I think he, you know, we're all focused on that last three putt, but you know, he could have birdied any hole on the front nine. He was hitting it so well, and you know, it's unfortunate that that's how it ended. But I think it's great that they are playing together once again. It's a spectacular group. It's one of a few great pairings that we have the first couple days. So you know, not that we needed anything else to look forward to. You know, it's an Open Championship at St Andrews, but we have the whole Jordan Spieth storyline, and then you have, you know, going for the Grand Slam, and then you have some great pairings to watch. So, you know, it's really an exciting week.
Damon Day here, and listening to Dustin Johnson's comments after the U.S. Open, where he said the stroke was good, it felt good, it was the greens that caused a lot of the issues. Were you surprised that he came out so defiantly, or is that just how confident the new Dustin Johnson is in his game?
Yeah, I think it's more the latter. I think, you know, these guys, you know, like when you hear Tiger say, oh, I'm making progress even when he's shooting 85, you know, these guys have to kind of talk themselves into that confidence. They have to almost trick their brains, I think. And certainly Dustin Johnson's a competent player, as he should be. He's one of the best players in the world and maybe the most talented player in the world. But when you lose like that, you know, any human is going to take a while to get over. But it seems like he's kind of tricked himself into saying, hey, it's not your fault. It was a bad bounce. He kept saying the word bounce in his answers about that. And so, you know, if he tells himself that it's not his fault and it was the golf course's fault, I guess that's probably the quickest way for him to get over it and to move on.
Alex Myers, Golf Digest, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda and Damon Day, you speak bounce. Tiger Woods made a funny comment earlier this week, and then Andy North was asked, compare what soft conditions in the United States versus soft conditions in Europe means. And he was talking about, well, in Europe, kind of like Chambers Bay, you could bounce the golf ball. You could dribble it down the fairway. You still have to land at 20, 30 yards short, but St. Andrews has become the easiest of the venues over there. So compare history to the course, and even though a lot of people want to compare it a little bit to Chambers Bay for Bomber's advantage, is it really so?
Well, you know, Tiger actually said today that only one other time has he seen St. Andrews so soft, and that was in 1998 at the Alfred Dunhill Links, which is at the end of the season. So he was surprised. So I think it will that does obviously give the bombers a little more of an advantage. If the course, again, right, it's not soft like we're thinking of at home when, you know, a course is just soaking wet. But for here, it's soft. And I think that'll take a little bit of the bounce out of things and, you know, and definitely make it a little tougher for one of the shorter guys to win.
Alex, give us a little handicap here. There always seems to be, like Louis Oosthuizen was 5 years ago, but there always seems to be, I mean, I know you, Joyce Oost-Luyten or whatever you want to say that correct. If you watch enough European early morning golf channel stuff, you're going to get a couple of these names. Is there a European that fits that mold this year, or is it just always too early to tell because they're so far off the radar?
No, I think there is a guy, and, you know, I forgot who pointed out this stat, but it's a tremendous stat. Tommy Fleetwood, an English player, he, in the past 2 years at the Upper Dunhill Links, which is played on three different courses over here, but two of the rounds are on the old course. In his past four rounds at the old course, he's 26 under par. So that's pretty strong stuff right there. So, and I'm actually, as we speak, I'm about to place a few bets myself. I'm at a Ladbrokes over here, and I see that Mr. Fleetwood is listed at, I think, 100-1 when I saw the sheet. So, you know, he might be a guy who you never know. He obviously loves the course. He plays well here. Louis Oosthuizen obviously won by 7 shots here. We all know him. He shot the 29 on the back nine at Chambers Bay. And he's played well here the last couple times in that other event. So I think he's one of the guys. And then we already talked about Dustin Johnson. You know, you're not going to win that much money or get them. You know, if you pick him to win, he's one of the favorites, obviously. But certainly this course seems, you know, a lot of people think it sets up well for him with his length.
Jordan Spieth wins the John Deere, wins it in dramatic fashion yesterday. Just the he seemed to be lethargic during the interview process, seemed to be suffering from it. On the grounds, being there, the talk around, does he have enough gas in the tank to make this run, or did he kind of maybe stack too many events close together going into the British?
No, I think he's got enough. I think, you know, if he doesn't win this week, it's not because of fatigue or anything else. I mean, it might be because of perhaps a lack of local knowledge, you know, with this being his first tournament playing on this course. But I think he's got it in him. You know, I'm stunned. Well, I'm more impressed almost by his win at the John Deere than I am at either of his major wins because, I mean, obviously everybody's talking about this week. He's got to be looking ahead. All the attention is on the Grand Slam. And that he shouldn't even be playing this other event. And he goes and wins the other event. I mean, it's just amazing what this guy is doing right now. And unfortunately, the weather looks like he got the rough end of the draw. It looks like Friday afternoon it's going to get very windy here. And since he's playing Thursday morning, he's going to get hit with that Friday late wind. So, again, if he doesn't win, I would bet that it's going to be, you know, weather-related or just, you know, him not showing up with his A game. But I wouldn't, you know, blame it on that performance at the John Deere.
Just a couple minutes left here with Alex Myers, Associate Editor, Golf Digest, golfdigest.com. Kind of like Augusta, they have to make a few tweaks to St. Andrews to give these pros at least a little bit of a challenge. Is there any of the changes that they've made significant enough that we'll notice it while we're watching?
I don't think so. I mean, I think the one that people talked about the most is how they've kept lengthening the 17th hole, the road hole. And when you see the tee, I mean, they can't lengthen it anymore. It's basically up against the fence. And, you know, as if that hole wasn't hard enough, you know, it's about 495 yards now. But you're right. I mean, this course, when the conditions are easy, as, you know, if there's no wind here, these guys are going to go low. I mean, I've seen some people predict that we're going to see a 60 or a 61 or, you know, that. And if the wind does stay down or maybe Friday morning, it's supposed to rain Thursday night. So maybe the people playing Friday morning with really soft conditions and no wind, you never know. I mean, that the major championship record of 63 could be in jeopardy here.
Who you got?
Well, you know, I mentioned Louis Oosthuizen and Dustin Johnson. I think those are my two top picks. I guess if I had to pick one, I'll go with Dustin Johnson. What the heck? That'd be quite a story, I think, if he was able to turn it around. You know, we've seen that before, though. If you remember Rory McIlroy, after he blew that first that Masters, he went and won the U.S. Open at Congressional his next time out. So it can happen, and he seems pretty resilient. And, again, you know, he's got all the talent in the world. It's just a matter of time for when he finally breaks through at a major.
Obviously, no Rory McIlroy. How is that affecting the mood around the tournament? I mean, it's a tournament that does stand alone. It does not need any of the characters. The course is kind of the main draw of this type of tournament. But what is the overall sense over there with no Rory McIlroy, no number one in the field?
Well, you know, I think it loses a little of the juice, especially when you factor in that, you know, as much as we're excited about Tiger, his iron play, you know, being a little better at the green part last week, I still don't think anybody's really considering him a legit contender. So you have really kind of those two biggest names. Of course, Spieth has jumped into that conversation this year, but you have those two names kind of out or not really serious contenders. That definitely takes away a little. But yeah, as you mentioned, you know, being at St. Andrews is going to bump up any Open enough a little. And to start, you know, we're talking about the oldest major in the game. So, you know, I think it's definitely taken a little back, but I hope that people don't, whoever wins, I hope they don't, you know, think, oh, well, Rory's not there. You know, Rory hasn't won the first two majors when he played, so you just can't count on him being in the mix even if he was here.
And, Alex, finally, I've always thought it would be really cool to go to the British Open. It is obviously so much different than the other three majors, and I'm not just talking about the golf. I'm talking atmosphere and all that. For those that cover it, what makes it so unique? What is so great about the British Open?
Well, yeah, I mean, you mentioned, I mean, the atmosphere of the surrounding town, and I've been fortunate enough to go to a few of these now. This is my first time here, and this is definitely the coolest of all. I mean, we're almost everybody in the media is staying within walking distance of the course. You know, I saw Phil Mickelson and Zach Johnson finish up their practice rounds last night. They then walked across the fairway, stepped over a stone wall to go to the Old Course Hotel where they're obviously staying. You know, it's just kind of everything's just right here. And everywhere you look, you know, there's signs up for the Open and everything else. I mean, this place is primed for this tournament, and you just feel kind of the excitement as we're building towards the tournament finally getting here. So it's just a really cool place, great town.
Well, it's time to tea time is over. It's time for other time at the British Open. Alex Myers, Golf Digest, always appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show and your insight. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Tommy Fleetwood, what do you think?
I'm going to bet Tommy Fleetwood is nowhere near the leaderboard come Sunday.
You look now. I'm going to Vegas Insider right here, and the names are: it's Spieth, Johnson, Adam Scott, Oosthuizen. I cannot believe Tiger Woods is at this 18-1 ahead of Phil. I cannot believe it. And even though
if Tiger is in the hunt Sunday morning, it'll be one of the larger British Open ratings in the history of American television. He's there on Sunday,
Fowler, Mickelson, Day, Garcia, Bubba, even Hideki Matsuyama, who's playing in that featured group with Spieth and Johnson, is in the top 20. I think sometimes the moment might get to you, but you look down there, Kuchar's 55-1 on this. Fleetwood is 80-1, but in that area, you've got all those kind of foreign guys: Bernd Wiesberger, Victor Dubuisson, Charles Schwartzel, Ian Poulter, even Lee Westwood, 85-1. That'd be worth a dime. Zach Johnson there as well. We'll find out again. Coverage Saturday and Sunday right here on ESPN Radio. As we go to break, we're going to say goodbye to Damon. He's got a commitment. Anything else that you wanted to say?
No.
Go Royals.
Go Royals. Enjoy the All-Star game tonight. It's a cool thing. I mean,
Don't rain out.
It's a little different. But
Pete
thanks
Rose
for having
should be
me
in the Hall of Fame.
What's that?
Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame.
Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame where he's called out for being the loser that he was for betting on baseball.
And
it's not a Hall of Fame if the best player's not in it. It's the best hitter.
Thank God. And the All-Star game should or should not determine home field
advantage. Oh, my goodness. Really? No. Okay. No. You're talking about guys wanting to get out of there in the fourth inning to fly home to see their family for the first time in 4 months. And that's who we're putting a home field advantage on? I mean, if all Bud Selig has done for the game, that's one of those that Manfred, there's like a, and when Manfred got his list of duties and cans and cannots, that was number one. You can't change the All-Star game because that'll break Bud's heart.
I love it.
Because that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in sports.
I love it.
right next to the five-game Legion tournament.
The players did it to themselves. You know that. By wussing out and calling a tie, they did it to themselves.
Who cares if it's a tie? Who cares if it's a tie?
Aren't you a traditionalist?
No, I want to see Zach Greinke face Mike Trout. And, I mean, honestly, since interleague plays happened, it doesn't really matter anymore that there's an all-star game.
Wow. Wow. Would you go? I hope this meeting is not very stressful for you this afternoon and that you are in a much better mood next time. You're in an awesome mood. But, I mean, you know.
I will be.
Jabba, any back and forth with him in the last week?
Yeah.
Anything you can share? Detroit, yes. Detroit, no.
No, Miners, no Detroit.
All gone.
Yep.
Offers?
Oh, yeah.
Pitch again this year?
Yeah. Well, right now, there's financial reasons why you don't pitch. There's a reason why you sign a contract for a certain amount of money. You're not going to sign another contract and let
But does he want club to pitch this year?
Oh, yeah. But
okay.
A lot of money.
He'll be hanging out with Randy Moss. Get out of here. I'm going to tell folks about T&L Irrigation and, of course, your local T&L dealer like Bill Shapley at Mid-States Irrigation or Derek Wagner at Wagner Irrigation in Holdridge. Their GPS navigation corner system goes right along with their hydrostatic GPS-powered system, the PP3. Again, I told this yesterday. I smiled on the road this weekend. It's 99, 102, and there's the farmer in the field because he's got to go work on the pivot or change it or turn it off, turn it on. GPS, T&L, don't have to worry about it. Find out more at TLIRR.com or contact your local T&L irrigation dealer. We'll be back to wrap it up after this.
Welcome to Kearney for Cruise Night. Please do your part to make cruise night safe and enjoyable for everyone by knowing all city and state laws. A new city code makes it illegal to consume and possess an open container of alcohol in city right-of-way or on public property, including sidewalks. Remember to be safe, be smart. This message was brought to you by Positive Pressure, with funds provided by the state of Nebraska and the Substance Abuse Prevention and Treatment Block Grant.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
Rack Some Clays, August 15th at the Heartland Shooting Park. Hornaday Manufacturing is the presenting sponsor for the 23rd Annual Platte River Charity Shoot, benefiting Goodwill and the services they provide to people living with disabilities or barriers to working and living independently. There's something for everyone with youth, adult, individual, and team competitions. Scholarships awarded to winners of the youth division. Platte River Charity Shoot is sponsored by Rasmussen & Associates, Five Points Bank, and Hornaday Manufacturing. Sign up today at goodwillne.org.
Farming is a way of life here, and today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. CHS has been a partner to those farmers, the community, the area charities, including the Harvest for Hunger, right here. So when we say there's a CHS Agri-Service Center near you and ready to help you build your future, we mean it. CHS Agri-Service Center. People and resources you can count on always, and always here at chsagri.com.
KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal, sir, and I never slice.
It's okay, you can owe me.
I owe you nothing!
888-455-ESPN, that's the number. On the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, we've got some giveaways later on in the week. Big Ten football preview this week. Indiana tomorrow. Minnesota Thursday. Penn State on Friday. Also tomorrow, former Loper assistant football coach. He's been at Morningside, and now he is up at South Dakota State. Jay Christensen is going to join us. Jay's in the area. Kind of, this is, as you know, when we talk a lot of the coaches, this is about the only time of the year that they really can get refreshed on the batteries. You can't even really do it after the bowl game. You can if you don't make a bowl game, unfortunately. But if you do, you got that bowl game, then it's right into recruiting, then it's into spring game, and then blah, 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 blah. They try to get a week or two or three before it is full go for the rest of the year. And with all these Nebraska kids committing to South Dakota State, South Dakota, Wyoming, we'll talk with Jay a little bit about their recruiting efforts in our area and some of the kids that currently play for the Jackrabbits. Of course, the Huskers played them a year ago, the Zenner kid, the great running back. He's actually, Jay telling me, he's actually on the Detroit Lions with Amir Abdullah. They're kind of buds. We'll talk a little bit about that with him. And the owner of the Tri-City Storm, Kirk Brooks, will be in. We also believe Coach McCault will come in, and probably Jared Shaffron. So that'll start our show. Then we'll talk Indiana football in the middle, and towards the end we'll talk with Jay. That's tomorrow here on the Doug and Daddy Show. If you get ready for lunch, how about the Kearney Chicken Coop? A lot of places say they are a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop with their home-style pizzas, salads, quesadillas, of course, steaks. You can get a little fish. How about the ribs? Really, really good. And can't go wrong with the wings. Great specials on wings Mondays and Tuesday nights as well. And, of course, if you need room to accommodate larger groups, they offer convenient party areas. So stop in today. Lunch specials every day, open 7 days a week because you're hungry. 7 days a week at the Kearney Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill. So, vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question. What'd you think about the All-Star Game Home Run Derby? Give us your thoughts. I thought it was pretty cool. We had the lineups are out for the All-Star Game for the Royals. Lorenzo Cain will play right and bat fifth. Salvador Perez will catch and bat seventh. Alcides Escobar, shortstop and bat ninth. The first four, Mike Trout, Josh Donaldson, Albert Pujols, Nelson Cruz for Ned Yost. For the National League, Andrew McCutchen, Todd Frazier, the Home Run Derby winner, Bryce Harper, and Paul Goldschmidt, then Buster Posey and Cub Anthony Rizzo. Zach Greinke gets the start in the National League and Dallas Keuchel in the American League. Coverage all day. First pitch a little bit after 7, depending on how quick all the ceremonies get finished up. We talked briefly about the basketball schedules yesterday for the Huskers. They are weak. Especially the home schedule, and it's too bad. But the women will start with UNK November the 1st. Both teams have home games November the 14th, so a Saturday split doubleheader there with Mississippi Valley State and Arkansas Pine Bluff, again on the 14th. And you go, well, I wonder who the Huskers are playing that day. Rutgers at Rutgers. So there you go, how much you'll be missing out there. But here it is. I mean, I'll run it down for you real quick. This is the women's home non-conference schedule. I mean, yes, they go to UConn and they go to Cal, and that should be enough. But they're forced. I mean, you're going to play the Big Ten ACC Challenge, and that's the biggest home game for either the men or the women. The women, it's NC State. The men, it's Miami. For the women, Arkansas Pine Bluff, North Florida, North Carolina Central, Southern, Creighton, Evansville, Northern Arizona, Arkansas State. Men, Mississippi Valley State, Delaware State, Southeastern Louisiana, Arkansas Pine Bluff, then Miami, Abilene Christian, Rhode Island, Samford, Prairie View, A&M. It's embarrassing. American Legion Baseball, the tournaments will wrap up tonight in the juniors in B and C. Crete beat Aurora last night 9-0 on a one-hitter, so they'll have to beat Seward twice tonight. Wayne eliminated Central City 10-0. They'll have to beat O'Neill twice tonight. In Holdridge, McCook beat Gothenburg 4-2. They'll have to beat Holdridge twice. First game is at 4:30. Over in Sutton, Superior eliminated David City, but Utica Beaver Crossing beat Strasburg Osceola, so Utica Superior at 5:30. The winner then goes to the finals at about 8 o'clock against Strasburg. Osceola. The Shelton District, the C6, DCB, Ed Shelton, given a heck of a finish last night, 7-6. They'll play Palmer Wallback Greeley, who beat Wood River 13-1. DCB would have to win twice, and Alma beat Overton. They'll have to beat Bridgeport twice this afternoon out in Imperial. So that's what's going on for American Legion Baseball, and that's what's going on in the world of sports. Junior Amateur Golf Championship for the youngsters. Of course, of the girls, four of them are named Teal. Haley and Hannah have split the last two. They're among the competitors out at Four Winds Golf Course in Kimball. There are 65 boys competing. The girls play 36 holes over 2 days. The boys play 54 over 3 days. We want to thank our great guests on the Doug and Daddy Show. show today. Jeff Patricus of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to talk Wisconsin football. Alex Myers of Golf Digest live from St. Andrews in England to preview the British Open. And Matt Connett from Kearney Post 52 ahead of their area tournament out in Scotts Bluff this weekend. Again, the owner of the Tri-City Storm, Kirk Brooks, tomorrow. David Woods from the Indianapolis Star to talk Indiana football. And South Dakota State Assistant Football Coach Jay Christensen, a Loper alum, also tomorrow on the program. Enjoy your Tuesday. Don't forget, tune in for Hail Varsity today. I'm hosting this thing. Hopefully it doesn't blow up on us. What do you think, Caleb? 2 hours instead of one? Can we handle it?
I hope we can, anyway.
We got Mitch Sherman, Blair Kirkhoff, Jared Crick. That's part of today's Hail Varsity live from 4 to 6 here on ESPN Radio.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!